Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's only because of your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, because of your
beginning of our Holy Week. But I'm commissioned to deliver a message this morning to tell you about the plot begins. And so that's what the Lord has placed on my heart, to tell you about the plot that began. But I want you to know it didn't just begin today. It began thousands of years ago, because God had a plan in place way before he ever executed it. Hallelujah. Let me help you out here. You know, we use GPS today, right, in our cars and in places, right? You program your address or the place you want to go in advance, correct? And then it takes you there. Oh, y'all not hearing me. So God was using his GPS, and he put a plan in place. And the place where he wanted us to arrive. And so I want you to think that, you know, that today is not an accident. God is clearly aware of what's going on in our world. He's clearly aware of what's going on in your life, because he's omnipresent. So he knows all of that. But it's time for us to receive it. And if we could receive what it is we have and what God has given us, amen, then we can work with it. Amen. To be in a place where it can make a difference in our lives. And I'm at a place where the one thing that I know is constant is change. Something's going on with this mic. It's not the antenna. I'm sorry. The one thing I know is constant is change. And change is occurring around us, but we are people of habit, and we don't like to change. Thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. But that's very distracting when that thing is clicking and going off and all that stuff. I want to be clear to be able to share what it is God wants me to say and do in your life. And so change is necessary. Change is consistent. You can turn this up just a little bit. A little bit more power. But we need to be prepared with an open heart and a willingness to change. And so when I'm talking about this, God had this plan in place. And today, Palm Sunday, as it's initiated, there was a series of things that even occurred prior to this. But this particular Sunday, it really has nothing to do with palms. Okay, let's make that clear. We can get stuck on that. I know we have it here. Got tied up in the crosses and everything, but it has everything to do with the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the plan and the plot that he put in place. So with that said, I would also say that, you know, God is commissioning me to continue to even encourage change within this ministry. So I'm excited today because we even have a guest here, and he's a product of the event that went on last night. And I'm welcoming and grateful. You know why? Because we had a line dance people here last night, a group, right? We drove by here. They had cars. The parking lot was filled. The next parking lot was filled. And then the school down the street parking lot was filled.
Wow. Great job.
Because that was something they enjoyed doing. Let me make this clear. And so what happened is, too, and the church needs to understand, you can have fun and live and know God.
That's right.
Come on, church. Who am I talking to? I need to use this scenario because this is a part of the plot and the plan. Jesus wasn't received by the Pharisees and Sadducees because they were religious. Religious people do the same thing over and over. But relational people deal with life and move through struggles, trials, tribulation, and become victors.
Amen.
Did anybody hear me? Jesus came so that we could be victorious. victorious. So this plot, this beginning, and I'm using the scenario because it's okay to have fun. I got to throw this in the, and it was okay. And they took care of the building. They did what they, and I'm just saying, we but religious people say can't have fun. Religious people said, oh, you can't do this, or you can't use our building. And if we're not careful, we even say, oh, what spirit did they bring? If Jesus was concerned about the spirit and didn't think that he had the power to defeat it, he would have never saved me. Because I don't know about you, I didn't come with everything right.
That's right.
Talk about it.
My life was in trouble. But I met a God that loved me for me. And supported me for me. And wants to do the same for you. So this is what this plot begins and is all about. Because had he not done this,
That's right.
We wouldn't have the privilege to be sitting here today.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so excited to see you here. And because I'm telling you, I know, you see, that the world would say you got to make a choice. You either go to a football game or church. But when you figure out a way to do both, then you are right. Because see, then you're not allowing to be stuck. And by the way, that was done on by design to keep you from church. And to keep him from church. Okay, but again, church is important, not because I just need to be in attendance. A church should be fulfilling to you. You should, every time you leave, you should be growing.
Amen.
I'm expecting growth in the lives of people. I do not come up here and share and spend my time studying for just because I need to sound good. I really want to see my lives change. I need the church to hear me. I want to see people's lives change. That's what Jesus came to do. Elder said, she looked at me, she said, what's the matter, Pastor? I said, I'm thinking, I can't stop. My brain is like all night. And so she was looking at my face, and it's all over my face. And I go, how am I going to get this out? God, I can't do this without you. I need you. Help me to explain this. How are you going to bring the line dance group into Palm Sunday? How are you going to tie it all in? Right? But I thought, you know what? They had over 250 people here. Right? But if one showed up, and he did, it's worth it. It's worth it. I got to say, thank you, sir. Thank you. Because it blessed me. And if I knew how to do it, I would have been here. I got two left feet. But I'm encouraging the church, the body of believers, that Jesus wanted us to be victorious, but he also doesn't have a problem with us having fun and enjoying life. And life should be lived, by the way.
That's right.
Not just going through the motions.
That's right. That's it.
I don't want to be a Christian and get up every day and just go through the motions.
No, that's not what God wants. No.
I want to walk victorious with my head up and then say, yes, man. And when the storm shows up, I too can say, this too will pass.
That's it.
And when something happens, I say, well, we're going to fix it. What am I going to do to do better and to protect what it is we have? Right? So I'm thinking about change. And I haven't gotten to the story yet with the message, but this is all in my heart. And even with the children, our young people, we got to be ready to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
But to take them where they need to go. And so, if we're not doing that, we, as a body of believers, will die. But I thank God. I thank God that the plot began. And it has a plan in place. Amen. And I hear you. So I want you to turn to the Bible, Matthew 21. And by the way, all four of us, the Gospels, record this event in different ways. They were all there. They were all a part of it. And because they were there in the upper room, so they all have their verse, but I chose Matthew's this morning. In chapter 21, verse 1, We're going to read down about 9, I think. And it says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come unto Bethpage, and unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man says unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet. So I want you to know that in Ezekiel and in other prophecies, this was spoken over his life. It was prophesied. So that meant thousands of years earlier,
sir,
about this king riding on an ass, a colt. Okay? We're not cussing up here. We're talking about the animal. All right? So it talked about this, and I need you to understand, because in history and in the time, when we think of a king, the king rides on the best horse. Usually a stallion and a champion of the horses, and it's got the strongest physique and body and look, right? It's a horse, and a horse. Donkeys and horses are not the same. Okay? And so the typical king would ride on one of the best horses, and the horse would be dressed and outlined, and even in the same armor or adorned as the king is, laid out. And typically they would walk him out, and it would, you know, and his men or the army or the support would be right behind him. And they would have a representation of the flags behind them, representing whoever they were, their country or their area. So those were things, that's how a king came out. And so now we're talking about a king. And so this is important, because right now the biggest issue is the rulers who are in place and their kingship, that they feel threatened. Because word is another king is coming. But this king, typically, he's not riding on the best horse. He prophesied, now you gotta remember, right here when he's speaking to the disciples, he gives them direction about what's about to occur. He tells them, now this is a day, a half a day before they ever get there, that this colt and ass are going to be tied together. And he also said, when somebody speaks up and says something, you tell them the king has need of them. The moment they say that, the man can say, go ahead. Well, y'all know what happened, right? When they arrive into Jerusalem, they get there, and the colt and the ass were right there, right where he said they would be. They were tied together. And here, that's important. Y'all know I love the number 2. So he's got the colt and the ass tied together. They're there. And he brings them. And the Bible tells us that he tells them to bring them. And when they get there, because he's preparing to go into Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason this is so important, because when I talked about the title of this message, The Plot Begins, Jesus is going to deliver himself.
That's right.
Don't ever hear it. He understood his direction, his order, his life, that he was born to die.
Right.
So he has to follow through on the plan that his father had already given him. I don't know about you, but that would have been very difficult for me to do. I'm just telling the truth. But Jesus never sinned. He obeyed the Father. And so according to this, the plot begins, and he's on his way, and he gives this prophecy, and exactly what he said, all this was done that it might fulfill which was spoken by the prophet. Somebody say fulfill.
Yeah.
And he said, tell ye the daughters of Sinan, behold, the king cometh unto thee, and make thee sit upon the ass, and a colt, a folly of the ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They followed his orders. Verse 7. And they brought the ass and the colt and put them their clothes, and they set them him thereon. So he didn't have, didn't drape it in robes or armor or anything like this. They took their own coats and clothes and put on it, so he had something soft or something to sit on. He didn't have a saddle because the donkey would have never allowed that on. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches, and this is where we get down, get from palm trees and palms, from the trees, and they strewed them in the way. So in other words, they laid them out as he was coming in. So I like to liken it to Hollywood's version of the red carpet. They laid out the red carpet, but this time they took something that was of value of themselves and laid it out so that the donkey and the king could walk on. That was a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice of the people. Now, and my heart goes out because I said, these are the people, this group of people believed in. These people, group of people, and there were some in this group, because by the time we get to the other end, are going to turn. And it's the two sides to the tale here is that, you know, and I believe that about us in our lives. There's times that we're in certain predicaments and we're all for God. And then there's other things that happen in our life. And then all of a sudden, we're not with God. And I want to challenge you this morning that God is good in spite of trouble. And I need you to understand something. If you've experienced trouble and disappointment in your life, God didn't call it. But I know he allowed it. So I want you to understand the difference. But he allowed it. And I need you to ask yourself the question. Why, God, would you allow this in my life? And I heard him say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. In other words, I put something in you to defeat whatever comes against you. In other words, I built you up. I put something inside of you. And I want you, you will never know it unless you're tested and tried. I never knew who I was and what I was capable of until I've gone through some things. And then watched myself come out on the other side. But I gotta tell you something. As much as I thought the knowledge and wisdom that I thought I had, it was nothing compared to what my God had and what he did for me. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I got enough sense to say I know who brought me out. In fact, I have gone through some things. I don't know how I got out. Yet I'm out and on the other side. And so when he said I can make a river in the desert, I believe him. By the way, he did it.
That's right.
Well, look at this. Y'all got to read your history books. Gaza, and right on the other side of that area in Israel, those people would have never been able to move there. There was nothing there. But they dug water lines in. And there's rivers there now. There's trees growing. And life is inhabited. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
Verse 9. And the multitude that went before and had followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I want to encourage you this morning. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Capital L. It's going to be important when we live in a world, in a country that says there's a whole lot of gods. Little g. But here I'm talking about to know the name of the Lord. Capital L. Okay? Not just Lord, but Lord and Savior. And so why that's so important? Because the plot begins with a redemptive plan in mind for you and I. wasn't something that just happened. This was something that was planned centuries earlier, years earlier, because he needed to get his people in the line. But time had to happen. And I gotta give God credit, because my God, this was the best plan, because it didn't make sense to me at first when I didn't know any better. But to know that he did this in disguise and brought, and it had to transition. Oh, by the way, it happened when he said it happened.
Sure did.
In the beginning. But it took thousands of years for us to see it manifest on the earth. But it was important, because by this time, the devil had killed every prophet. Every person that had ever spoken up against the enemy and darkness, he had taken them out. And not one of them returned. Somebody said, but this one is preparing the plot, because he's different. And in fact, the scriptures repeat to tell me in one of the verses, one of the writers called him and said that the people said he was a prophet. And that's what one of them is. And the people said he was a prophet. Oh, he was much more than a prophet. He was much more than a prophet. And the reason I need to share this, because listen, I want you to see this, how this all transpires and starts to take place, and why this is significant. Because this event traditionally is known as a triumph entry, which Jesus officially offers himself to the nation of Israel as her long-awaited Messiah. That means Lord, King. Hallelujah. Long-awaited. And then he said, however, in many ways, it was far from the triumph for the day ended in Jesus' public prediction of his rejection of his own people. So here, he experiences the rejection of being the Messiah. Now, this was all a part of the plan. This isn't an accident. This is a part of the plan. And because the plan lays out, and this is what I want to share with all of you, you know, we could easily say, how come? And as I talked about, trouble happens to good people. But good people can be victorious, especially Christ people.
That's right.
And so that's the key. But one of the things we would say, they could not imagine in their minds that this guy, walking in the form of a body as a man. Now, by the way, he was all man, yet all God. And he went through the process of birth and life, just like you and I. Although he had no natural father, he was born by the Holy Spirit, was his father. But that part of that is important to you and I, because he experienced what you and I experienced.
That's right.
Thoughts, feelings, pressure, blood flowing through his veins, heart beating in his chest. He had all of that. Everything that we got, he had. But he had something greater, because he had a greater reliance. The Bible tells us that he never sinned. But this triumphal entry, and I don't want to, you know, I can't wait to get to next week, by the way, because see, next week seals the deal. It's one thing to come, it's another to be victorious.
No, that's right.
And according to the scriptures, the grave couldn't hold him. But this begins the plot, because he takes himself in. And this is important for all of us, because if you don't know how this, why it occurred, and what's going on, and it ain't, it's not much different than things that happen. It began somewhere. But we also want to have an ending. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
Glory to God. So listen. The Lord helped me get this through. And He said that it ended in the public prediction of his rejection of his own people. Mark talks about it. Luke talks about it. John talks about it. And it was the village near Bethany where he was at, and about a mile east of Jerusalem. And apparently it was hidden by the summit of Mount Olive, which in the hills are east of Jerusalem. And the combination of Isaiah, Zechariah, so all these different speakers and writers, by the way, we got one book, right? One author, 66 books. So 66 different writers, right? But they were all authored and inspired by the same Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us that the author and finisher of the Bible is the Lord. Amen? And I want to say this, so the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, Hosanna is translated of the Hebrew term for meaning please save. So why is this important? The people cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna. They said, please save. And I want to use this in the proper tense and text because saving and being saved is two different things. They were talking of a future hope. They were talking about a futuristic move that he would save. And so I want you to understand that this process, well, thank you, Lord, to tell y'all that our lives consist of processes. Okay, there's no genie stuff here. Click my fingers and something changes. Okay, this ain't magic. This is real. This is life. We walk through it. We go through it. We participate in it. And so he's showing us the process of the transition where Jesus now is beginning the plot. But he's also said, when the people said, save, Hosanna, save us. They had it right, by the way. They had it right. So, and I'm going to share something with you so important because, and I don't want to talk about Easter, but as we go, it's going to be a week, but when they, by the time he gets to Jerusalem, the leaders of the church, the religious folks, are waiting for him because their position and their hierarchy is threatened. The king supports them because he's threatened. By this king that came riding on a colt. This king who came proclaiming to be the Messiah. Now I've got to tell you, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Right? Key words here, three of them. Now. And why is now so important? Now is the only real time that exists in our lives. You cannot live or make a change in the past. You cannot live or make a change in the future. You can only live and make a change in now. So now faith is. So I want you to understand, faith always begins
now.
Y'all got it. And so the moment now, so there was a now a few seconds ago, it's no longer now. Right. But my faith began back then.
Right.
So I'm showing you the plot, the process. So we got to walk this thing out. So he said, now faith is an evidence. I got to tell y'all something because Jesus came and he began this plot and he started with evidence. He gave the if nobody got it, the discipleship. He sent two disciples. He told them about what they would find in a town down over, a whole mile away, that he couldn't see. He didn't have no binoculars, and there was no cameras like we have now that you could see in the city or your building or whatever. Right? He didn't have that. But he said what would be there because he put it in place.
Right.
Faith is now. When he said it, they were tied there. The evidence was what the disciples had to see. Evidence wasn't for Jesus. Who was the evidence for?
Us.
It's always for us. Evidence is always for us. God, there's evidence in your life. I got to encourage y'all. We keep looking for something else from somebody else or somewhere, but we got our own.
That's it.
Evidence in your life. Evidence in your life.
Your
of
testimony.
What God is doing.
Your testimony.
You being here today is evidence that you want more. Peace to me. If it ain't to anybody else, to me, you being here today, hearing what God has to say, is evident you want more in your life. Mike, you could have been happy with a nice dance last night, but you chose to come get some more. I believe your spirit was charged with saying, there's more. And I can enjoy this too. I want to say to you, Elder, there's been evidence in your life all these years. It's evidence in your life, Brother Bush. Okay. But if you focus in on the trouble and the trials and tribulation, they too exist. But he said, think on these things that are pure and lovely. So in other words, I have to make a conscious decision to not think about the negative and the bad things, but to think of the good things and what God is doing and done in my life.
That's it.
Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help you here. Because this is the beginning of the clock. If you do not change this, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I am talking about a renewed mind. The plot begins because God is trying to change our minds. But he has to use himself as the evidence. As the evidence. So that we can see. So here we're talking about Palm Sunday. And he says, and he's on his way in. And I'm at the title of the message, I can tell you something. I didn't have a title before I got here this morning. Because I had to hear from God. What do you want to say? And he said, the plot begins. Let the people know. It's a process. He says, tell them stop worrying about what didn't happen. Tell them follow the process.
Then,
yeah, that was a basketball player saying that, you know, trust the process. In other words, he knew, he said, if you stick with us and we work through this, we're going to come out victorious. Well, they still got some work to do, a lot. But nevertheless, God is in control and his plan is in place. So he says, now, faith is the evidence. So he gives us evidence, substance. So the substance is as well, is the events that is about to occur. And I like to say, he starts out with telling them about two colts going to be tied. When they get there, what do they see? Exactly the same. So then honey comes. Hold it. I like, God doesn't just do one thing. He backed it up with a double one. He said, when somebody says something, tell them you need auto. So instead of the man saying, hey, they're stealing my colt, arrest them. He said, tell them the king has need of. They said, the king has need of. He said, okay. Hold it. That's just it. I'm going to make it. I'll bring it all up in 2025 for y'all. There they go. Getting in my car. And I'm like, hold it. Wait a minute. They said, hey, the king sent me. And the king has need of me. I said, okay. So that's 2025 version, right? To bring us up to speed. And he gets there. And then he does, he already is prepared because he already heard the voice of God. Now remember, so if he already knows, so if we go back a few chapters, he has to go and he went in prayer. In fact, out of this one, he goes to the garden and prays. And he asks, because he knows what he has to do. And he asks the Father and says, is there another way? I want to help somebody here too, because some of y'all been here and you got a voice, you heard a voice from God. You know God told you to do something, and you keep asking for another way. Let me help you. It's the nature of human beings. God said what he said, and he meant what he said. Now, I have to walk this life out. I got some huge decisions and choices and things I got to do in my life, right? But I got to trust God.
That's it.
There is no other way. Like, can somebody else do this?
And he says, Jesus is there, and his pressure is so great. And he says, Father, is there another way? I want to tell you something about the military. They incorporated some rules, some things of God. In the military, when you've been given instructions by your commander in chief, or whoever that leader is, so in other words, if we go rendezvous at XYZ time, and here is the place, you might miss the time, because time keeps moving, but the place didn't change. So in other words, and one of the greatest, I watched the movie, and this is Hollywood's version of it, one of the airplane pilots, this is a true story, whose plane got shot down, and he parachuted out. And when he parachuted out, he landed in the heart of enemy territory. But they had already given him instructions on where they would pick him up at. It had to be near the plane where it crashed. So he goes for days and gets away from there, but can't get out of Bosnia. Only to have to go all the way back to where he began. And I love the plot of the story, because just as it looks like the enemy's going to close in on him, he's running for his life. And he's getting ready to jump off the mountain. And when he jumps off of the mountain, what you don't see, oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit, what we don't see is the hand of God. We never see it in place. So when he jumps off the mountain, he literally jumps, and the helicopter is coming up, and the guy is standing right there off to the side, and he grabs his hand. I know that's Hollywood version, but I like to believe that's just like God. He's always right there and right on time. But I couldn't see him. But I didn't know. But I knew. Because my only option was to jump and trust I'm going to live through the process. Somebody will get this in a minute. My only option is to trust God. Because that my faith began now. I heard what he said. I knew what the order was. And I'm bringing this back because the military church said, I mean, he just, what was the last order? And why am I telling you all this? Because Jesus asked God for another way. Read the scriptures. He says nothing. No other voices. Nothing changes. What does that mean? If God doesn't speak again and he doesn't change it. Now, by the way, you can go and you can look. You go on the internet and you can go and you can find 100 people that will agree with you with what you want to do. But I have to ask you the question, what does God want you to do? And so this is where I want to get the church. And today, I want you to understand this redemptive process and this redemptive power begins and began on a day like today, Palm Sunday, because he delivered himself on our behalf. There is no other, this is what I love. If you don't like, you can't stand on your Christianity, let me tell you how you can stand. There is no other religion. There's thousands of them. None. Only one. Where some blood was shed on your behalf. And his name was Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. I got to tell you, I love it. The Bible says there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. I got to go a step further. The Quran says there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Well, who shed blood? They have no one. They still waiting on it.
They got the hit when you start on Jesus.
Lord, help me. Help me. Hosanna, Hosanna. And I told you the Hebrew word on Kodak means saved. So, saving and salvation and redemption is working on us what was left over. And God is trying to rebuild and restructure. I love things that have been rebuilt. Typically, it's better than the original. Because whatever went wrong or whatever broke gets strengthened. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So whatever was broken usually gets fixed and repaired, but this time it's usually strengthened. Because it already failed. And God wants to make sure that it doesn't do that again. So he tries to strengthen us in those areas. And so we got to be open. I love this. So according to scriptures, the Bible tells us that we're like clay on the potter's wheel. But this time, you know, I remember going to pottery class at the Guild in North Philly. We would go after school and we could go there and we would go. Everybody wanted to make a cup, right? That's about as much as I could do. I wasn't that creative or artistic, you know, there. But if you didn't do it right, when it went into the heat, the oven. Oh, the oven's gonna prove its worthiness. And then it would crack if it wasn't done right or it was too thin, right? And if it cracked. It was already hard, and you had to do it over. But according to Scripture, he said that he wants to put, and this is the hard part, because if you've been finished, oh my goodness, if you complete in who you think you are, and he's calling you back to the wheel, it usually hurts. Because I got to tear down what was built up. And then I got to try to get it moistened enough to soften it up again so I can restructure it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the plot of the redemptive process to get us to where we need to be, which is what Easter is always going to be about. It's not about bunnies and eggs. It's about somebody dying and defeating death, but also to bring us to the place that I can be restored with him. I need to encourage somebody today that God is working on us and change is inevitable. And we need to get to the place where we're willing to change, but also the church has got to, it's a new day. And it's a new hour. Okay? I'm not talking about a new religious or new religion or anything. I'm talking about a new hour. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The word is the same power, the same result is what he expects. How I communicate it and how I get to the young people and other people is going to be important. We can't beat people with this. We've got to love them with it. And he gave us the answer. I've got to have a transformed mind. So I want to help people, and I'm getting this in my spirit. I want to help people to become transformed. And I think the most important way for me to do that is to be transparent. I always tell them, you know, I got a glass podium on purpose. Always wanted a glass podium. And I got one. Because I figured I found something out. I still can't hide. You see me. So I don't want to be a hidden figure. I want to be a transparent one. And that's what people can receive. Okay? So I can be in the light, young, old, and alive. Okay? I tell people, don't label me. Don't put me in a box. Because then now you only make me one thing. I'm who God said I am. Not my thing. And that's why we got to be willing and an open heart to follow the process. And so today, I wanted to just share the plot begins. And as the plot begins, the plot also has an ending. And the expectation is, how do we walk it out? How do we live it in our lives? And that's what I'm hoping I will be able to illustrate in our lives in the coming weeks and coming days. this church, unto these people, all of you that are here. I believe God's got you here significantly. Okay? I'm no longer worried about what used to be, what was, and what could be. I just want to deal with what He's told me to do. Because if I start looking at other things and other people, it'll start to get me concerned about what, who I'm not, who I don't think I am, what I don't know that I am. All the other stuff that has nothing to do with who I am. So I do want to follow the process. I do want to welcome all of you to participate in it. And I do want all of you to see what God is doing. I do want you to receive this word. I do want you to grow and be transformed. I do want you to be able to be able to be strengthened in your mind, body, and spirit. Every area. And yes, we are victorious. I'm thinking of you. Young lady, you got me. I'm looking at you, and I saw your smile, and I saw, and, you know, not sharing, you can share with everybody what you want to share.
This week, we're going to try to get that victory was for you. Strong to try to get
you need to know that God is real.
Yeah. Right.
But nobody else could go through the process for you.
Right.
Oh, we here, we pray, we with you. But you had to do it. You got to believe it. You got to walk in it. And as you do that, you will see the power of God more in your life. Now, see, real evidence. So many people, we go through all this stuff, and when the devil goes, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. No, it's what God said. And I got to go a step further. Because grace, the Bible tells me that He was full of grace and truth. Right? And Paul, one of the most powerful men of God, had to live with something, and he asked God to take it away. And God says, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul had to accept that God's grace was enough for him to become and do. By the way, y'all know, to me, out of all the other than John, all the apostles, the original one, Paul supersedes them. If y'all don't know it, he wrote most of the New Testament. I would have thought that one of the 12 would have wrote most of the New Testament. But God had it in mind. And by the way, his apostleship is sealed. Just because he wasn't there with Jesus doesn't mean it's not real. He said, he answers all of this when he's writing his letter, I call the apostle of Jesus Christ. He can't make that quote just because he wanted to. And I know we got a lot of self-proclaimed people in our world today, but he was the real deal. Amen? And I say that to you because I want you to be encouraged as we go through this transformative state and relationship that God is developing us, each and every one of us. I want you to be encouraged. It's a new day. It's a new hour. But God, He is not on the cross. He's on the throne. Okay? He got down from the cross. He's on the throne. There's a difference of the cross and the throne. The cross was a part of the process. Ooh. That's it. It was only a part of the process. And by the way, we live on the other side of the cross. Why is that? Why is that significant? Anybody know? Let me stand here. In front of the light. When I stand in front of the light, it creates something called a shadow. Okay? When he hung on the cross, it was for the known world that we were facing. Right? But the results of what he did was on the other side of the cross for you and I, because we weren't there. The results of what he did was accomplished, and we're on the other side. I'm going to help, next week we're going to take communion, right? With Easter, we're going to take communion. But in the communion, he says, he issues something that was never said before. He takes the unleavened bread and says that this bread is broken for you. It represents my body. He's making a declaration. It hadn't happened yet. Then he goes on to say one more thing. So this is important that we need to know why we do what we do and why is this important. And he says, this cup, this represents, he said, this is your New Testament writing, which means that it had never been written before. It never existed. Nobody in the Old Testament could make this statement. Abraham's faith was counted unto him as righteousness because he had faith, not because he had the blood. It hadn't happened. But now Jesus experiences, and he says, this is going to represent my blood. That is significant to you and I. By the way, I got to tell you something. This is my own personal thing. I know this guy's crazy, but that's okay. You can say it all you want, right? This is my personal belief, because I had to ask this of him. So God, when Jesus returned, the Bible tells us that he went to Hades, and he rose up, and in 3 days he walked the earth again, right? So he was on the earth. His body, he left the nail holes and the poke in the side. They were all still visible. Every other wound was healed. Remember, he was beaten, unrecognizable. By the way, on Good Friday, we're going to be showing the Passion here. I'm inviting y'all out. We want to share that. Probably Hollywood's best depiction of what happened, but not complete. Nevertheless, that's all that's left, those holes, right? Why did he leave those holes? God, I love it. He got it. He said, evidence. I got evidence that he wasn't alive because of the blood running in his body. Because according to scripture, or any of us have holes in our body that are wide open, and if we had blood in them, it'd be pouring out. But he had no blood pouring out. The blood was only necessary where? Only necessary here. So now he's got a prepared body. Because he's telling them, listen, I'm here, I just stopped by. This be paraphrasing. And said, I can't stay. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be at the right hand. But he's not going with a normal body. When he was here, he was all man. When we see him, we'll rise again. He's all God. He's all sick. That's the exciting part. And he gave us, again, now faith is substance and evidence. Yes. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to see it. We got substance and we got evidence. Yes. I'm teaching the kids at the school critical thinking. But critical thinking has to be proved with evidence and result, not just because you think it. You got to come. So that's what I want. So I want you to come to the conclusion why they called him Hosanna. They was looking for him to be saved, or to save them, which he is doing and has done. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's what's so important. We are beings. So the salvation, peace, and redemption is the process that we go through. The cleaning up, the fixing up, the restoring, the refilling. All of that is a part of redemption. I think we tend to make light of redemption and even being born again. This is what the whole plot is about, to get us to this place. And then he's done it and he's doing it. And I want to encourage the body of believers. So, because somebody told you, you're not perfect. And I agree with them. And I'm not either. Right. According to scripture, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. It said all. Oh, but my title is this. Has nothing to do with your title. It said all. There's only one that didn't. That's why he defeated death and he made an exchange. So now, why this is so important? I help y'all with the plot and the place where we need to be. Why you need to choose Jesus as Lord and Savior is because the salvation, Hosanna, Savior, can only take place when you make an exchange for your unrighteousness for his righteousness. When you make the exchange and says, Lord, would you take my dirt, my mess, which is why he went to the cross, for the sins of humanity, and for the nation. So when he takes that, now we made an exchange, and now I'm just and righteous only because I made an exchange, not because I did it all right. Y'all, I need you to get this, because otherwise you'll be walking around like the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's not how it is. The real deal is we made an exchange. We serve a God who loved us so much. He loved us so much that he took on the sins of the world on our behalf. And this is where it began. And we look back thousands of years and we represent. And I got to tell you, this is the first time in my life to preach all time this way. Because God is changing my mind, my spirit, my thought process, and seeing how this is being done. We want to be careful not to get stuck in tradition, because then we can start filling you with lies. I can't be a part of that. I got to get the truth. And as long as you have the truth, you will get what's necessary in your toolbox to use in the time of need. That is what God is saying to us in this hour. He is the truth. Grace and truth. He's full of it. He cannot lie. So I want you to know. And so the reason grace and truth have to be married, because if you just take grace by itself, y'all know my story, right? If you take grace by itself, I call it greasy grace. Because you'll just receive this grace and you'll still want to do what you want to do, and you want to slip and slide into the kingdom of God. And that is not. So he said, as long as it lines up with truth, my grace will cover you, even if you missed it and maybe you messed up. But you made an adjustment to line up with truth. I have grace for that. Did y'all hear that? That's what I have grace for. And so I can go to God with my failures.
That's right.
I can go to God with my faults. And he's got grace to heal me and to set me free. Somebody shout God. Glory to God. What a loving God. What a great God. Oh. So the plot begins. As you go through this week, this is a week we call holy. I want to encourage you. I'm asking the church and the people of God to get to a place and speak to somebody, and somebody's like, show them some love, show them something. And I hope you'll be able to get an invite to invite them in to the church. It says you're welcome. No strings attached. Just welcome. And I'm saying that because there's a whole lot of people that need the word, and a whole lot of people that need to get back to the relationship with God and be restored and redeemed, the redemptive process. But I understand, I'm clear, it won't save everybody. But those that want it, I want to make sure we made it available.
That's it. That's the key.
So we don't want to exclude anybody, but we want to welcome everybody and give God, the judge, the chance to do what he needs to do. Somebody shout out. So I ask all of you to open your hearts, open your minds, to help me. Help me. But we got to be willing to change. And listen, there should be no shame in your game. You do not have to know Genesis and Revelation to tell people about the God that exists. Now, I got to tell you something. We, critical thinking, would say the world is too complex for any one man to have created. Anybody else believe that except me? It had to be God. And it can't be multiple gods, because they would have never agreed. They would have never agreed. So it's only one God. Okay? It's only one. So you know that I can watch, again, back to movies, the sea. What's he called? Pernide. presiding water, and then the sun, and the moon, right, all these. No, no, no. I'm your God that created the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, and the stars too. Everything. Okay? Because that's how it works. And I know, I'm belling now. Let me stop. But this is where I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I got a joy right now because I know how was I going to bring this out, how was I going to communicate this, and God fulfilled and did what he said. And, I'm thankful. Did this help anybody? The talk something makes sense now? Because we can get caught in tradition and think it's about some palms and it's not. You know. But there's lots of types and shadows throughout the Bible. And in fact, it's full of that he uses as what he's going to do. And that's why I do love the Bible, because I can see so much of God in it and how it's covered the places for you and I. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a round of applause.